Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
To see him, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. One we've served all of our life is now here ready if we'll just receive it. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been in Revelations 1 and 1 Peter 1. And while you're doing that, remember now the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday at Brother Longoria's. If you desire to go with us, let us know where we can make arrangements for transportation and things, and just pray that the Lord would bless. Also remember that Wade and I, next weekend or this coming Saturday, we'll be going up to have a minister's meeting with some brothers about Daniel 70 weeks, and we pray for the right attitude and the right way of presenting everything, that the Lord would be with us and to guide us and take care of us. So remember that. Talked to Brother Danny just a little bit ago. Talked to him this morning. He was on the way toward the hospital, but I didn't know the whole story, and he put it all together for me. He went to Gainesville, and they were getting ready to operate. You know, they wanted to do that immediately, and he told them no, he was going to his doctors at Athens. So he went to Athens, and the doctors in Athens said they didn't even mention operating or anything, just... When he got down there, they said, well, I think it can be treated and everything will be all right. So we just believe it, right? Amen. They did. Said in Gainesville they wanted to operate and get everything, get an ultrasound or something, and go right in and operate. But the Lord knows how to take care of everything. Sometimes he may have to send us around by another doctor to get everything to set up, but he knows how to do it. So just keep praying for Danny. He said he was going home and all like that, and just remember him in your prayers. Okay, let's pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for you, and we thank you for all that you've given unto us. And we pray that you would just bless us now with your presence and understanding. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and keep us, Lord, in thy grace. Thank you for being with Brother Danny, so just bring him on out of this, Lord, and make all things well. Because we thank you for it, and we pray that you'd bless each one. Be with those that are not here, and just remember each one. Remember Sister Jean's husband, George, our Lord, and just bless him. He's sick, and many sicknesses among us, and you just have your way. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelations 1:1-3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What? The time to understand is at hand. Now, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Look what he concludes it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've got through covering basically chapter 5 and all, and now we're going to, in a little bit, we read Revelation 6:1, and then we'll start in our thoughts. But, you know, the main thing I'm wanting you to see is, like I've tried to emphasize over and over, that the actual seal itself, or the manifestation, maybe is a way of saying it, of those things under the seals will transpire after we leave out of here. We'll already be in the rapture. We'll already be in glory while that is taking place upon the earth. All right? See, in doing that, then, we look back, like we were talking this morning, that actually the seals broke back there to over 2,000 years ago, because Jesus actually preached them in the scriptures of Matthew 24. He preached six of the seals and placed it there in the scripture. All right? Then John goes to Patmos, and what does he see? He sees what Jesus preached. But he can only get it as it's revealed to him, and we'll cover this in a minute, that he'll get it in a symbol form. All right? Then that symbol form was to last until the end time, when God would send us a prophet to be able to understand the symbols of the Bible, and then he could break those things to the prophet or reveal it to him, because it's already broken. I keep emphasizing that. People, they're arguing now among the message people that six of the seals are broke and the seventh's not broke yet. All right? Then others pick it up and say that the seventh is not revealed yet. You know, it's just one thing after another of mankind trying to figure out those things. But the Bible says it's open. Well, then at least we should agree with that part. Because in Revelation 8:1 it says, you know, opening the seventh seal. All right? It has to be opened, or John would not have been able to spoke about it. And then, see, bringing it to us as a church symbol. And we even read there the last this morning that Brother Brown said, we're seeing here tonight on the seventh seal what took place in heaven 2,000 years ago, or in glory. See? All right, John was taken up in Revelations 4:1. And he sees all of these things, and he writes it down. All right? Now, seeing it from a heavenly scene, then God is revealing that that's going to take place on earth, and that's what we want to deal with it, is the part of being on earth in a manifestation down here on earth and see our day and its time. But the main thing, if you're understanding me, then the seals are broke. The prophet didn't break the seals. The seals were revealed to the prophet because they were already broken. And you'll read quotes now, and all, and I know people will read it and they'll take it, but they won't take everything. But they'll read, you know, that they'll find it where Brother Man said, see, there said the Lamb broke the seal. The Lamb opened the seal. Well, just remember, that's what is happening. But it started 2,000 years ago. Back there when John went to Patmos and saw these things. But then it was placed before mankind in a symbol form waiting the opportunity for the prophet to come to be able to speak to us and tell us what these things are. And that was where that he made his mistake in his early ministry, because he was preaching the white horse rider as Jesus Christ. Then he comes on over later, like it's in one is in one the sister was talking about a while ago. It's in Daniel 70 weeks. He mentions that the white horse rider is the Antichrist. Well, see, Clarence Larkin preached the white horse rider was the Antichrist before Brother Branham ever came along. But he wasn't the prophet. That's why I've always said it, and I don't mean it as a joke. He was in the system that was the Antichrist system. And he was a Trinitarian, probably. And so the scripture couldn't have been broke, but he was just saying from what he could see, point something to him. All right. And that was well and good, whatever he saw. But he wasn't the prophet. See, the symbol couldn't break. He couldn't see what that was because the prophet said it was sealed until, and the Bible said it was. Even Daniel says the book is sealed. It was a sealed book. I was looking at it this morning where Brother Run said, and they're laying back there, that he said, we didn't know the book was sealed. Well, that's in the sealed book. Well, you know how many times, or reckon how many times he said before that the book was sealed. But he's, in other words, it's coming down that we didn't know how it's sealed, what's going on. But now we can see it. So there was no way that the prophet could be the Lamb. He couldn't take the book. He couldn't reveal the book because that was the statement or the proclamation that no man was worthy. All right. The only one that was worthy was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only one that could take the book, open the seals, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that could reveal the seals is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the prophet that could tell us these things, and he was the one making those statements and bringing it to where you and I could follow it and then see the end time that we would be waiting. It was in a symbol form where the church would see what's going on. Like I said, if it wasn't in symbol form, there would be no mystery. There wouldn't be no waiting. It all just be open. The whole Bible is written symbol form, parables and things. That way, it would keep you and I on our toes trying to study it out, trying to see, wanting to know what these things were. You see, I thank God I run into the man I did to introduce me to the message, because he began to talk about the seals and the things, and he would just talk a little, and I had beginning to read. Well, I wanted one of them seal books, you know. But he didn't want me to have one of them. And he told me he didn't. I said, well, I want to get in them seals. He said, don't want you to. He said, I want you to get a background, a study. So he gave me certain messages. He gave me a church age book and the things, you know. I've told you this many times before, but. See, then finally one day he said, I think you can understand here. You can have a seal book. Well, you know what? I'm honest and admit it. I really enjoyed it. It was really opening of a lot of things to my eyes, but I'm as honest as can be where most people say, boy, I read that seal book. And man, that's wonderful. Well, that's true. Do you know what I done? I realized that I wasn't understanding what he was saying. You know what I done? I laid the seal book down. I went back to the church age book. Because I had enough understanding that I had to get a background. Because if it wasn't opening up the way that I thought it would, I realized I must go back. I went back to the church age book. I studied that church age book about the ages and the things. And then one day I started back in reading the seal book. Well, you know what? I got a whole lot better understanding. Because I began to see the layout, the ways he was speaking, and the things that would help me to understand. But what if I didn't have the background? Now, we're going to read in a minute, and we're going to show that the Antichrist is a spirit. Well, now, what if you didn't have the background to see how the ages came down? And if that Nicolaitan spirit started back there and come down, and he's still here today, see, how would you understand the Antichrist? But see, then that's what I've tried to get people to see. The seals is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not revealing the Antichrist. The Antichrist is revealed in opposition. How would a Trinitarian take a seal book and pick it up and read, and he just give him a little bit out of it, and you read there, you know, the white horse rider's the Antichrist. I said, well, Clarence Larkin said that. Many other people maybe have said that. It wouldn't mean a thing. But you see, that's what it struck me, because that's the way they opened to me. And I was telling you, I told you many times I was running a job that it took two men to run when I was out. They were trying to pressure me into quitting, and I just held on until God come on the scene to release it. But in doing all of that, I was writing notes to come home and preach off of the seals and things. Well, then it just unfolded, that first seal. If it wasn't the Antichrist being revealed, it was a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, and I could see that. But then one day, something down through my knowledge just spoke. And said, when you see two people in the Bible, one of them's got to be the Antichrist. Because there's no two people in God. That's what people in this message, the two lords, the people like that, they say that Jesus was one person and God was another. That's as Trinitarian as any Trinitarian concept we ever had. When you say there's two persons. There's many manifestations of God. But there's only one. Brother Brown said he is not the second person. He's not the first, even the first person. He said he is the person. All right. So then when I read the seal book the next time, I begin to see. And I invite you to go through the seal book and just read and underline every time he talks about that Antichrist. And he'll say, see that other guy. See that other fellow. See him riding off. I said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. Well, to a Trinitarian, that wouldn't mean a thing, but a Trinitarian can have three or four people sitting there in a book in his hand. Because he got all them persons running around. But Brother Branham, you know what he said? He said, my revelation, Christ, the Lamb, and the Holy Ghost is the self-same person. Amen. And he said, then that other fellow riding off. That other guy leaving. Right. It would have to be the Antichrist. Right. Right. So it's revealing Jesus Christ. Right? It's not the revealing of the Antichrist. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's quoting there this morning. Who is those seals? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He is those seals, the prophet would say. But see, then you say, well, what about the Antichrist? That's the opposition. You know, you see people in the message, preachers, they're constantly beating you over the head with everything. And they say, boy, we got a hard message. Boy, we got a hard message. 40 years later, boy, we got a hard message. 40 years later, they're still preaching the same thing they was 40 years ago. He said, well, no, I ain't telling nobody how to preach. I'm just telling you how that it looks to me. Okay. If you haven't progressed in understanding in 40 years, I'm not going to tell you you're backslid. I'm going to tell you you're lost. Is that plain enough? I'm not going to say you're backslid. I'm going to say you're lost. You mean we've been studying a book? Wouldn't that be something for the doctors? A little over 100 years ago. Somebody gets sick. Man, you're just so weak and wrung out, and you go to the doctor, and man, you're just staggering to get in. He sets you down, and he says, yep, we need to bleed you a pint. Right? That was their way of getting the blood to redo itself. And you know what? A lot of people got well, but you know what? A lot of people died. They needed a couple of pints. Instead of taking a few out of them, well, what would the doctors today say? Come on. Well, I think that's the way it is in the message. I think it's about time the prophet said to rub out some unbelief to where we can see the true revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Dale, all I've ever known my whole life, said, I read the seal book, said, that first seal's a white horse rider. Yeah, because that's the way you've been taught it. But have you seen Jesus Christ? If you hadn't seen Jesus Christ through the opening of the Word, then the Word's not open. Is that plain enough? No stumbling, stuttering, or nothing, just plain. Brother Brown said, if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, what did he say? He said, go back and read it again, because you missed something. So-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Now I'm quoting Scripture, right? That's hard to see Christ, isn't it? That's what he said. But after a while, you find out them so-and-so begot so-and-so leads you right down to David. And so-and-so begot so-and-so leads you right down to Jesus Christ. So it is Christ in every verse. They're not looking for Jesus in every verse. He's looking for Christ. All right? And see, when you see the Christ and you're a true born again Christian, you won't see Christ somewhere else. We're going to get to that in a minute now. You don't see Christ somewhere else. Brother told me one time, he said, I see Christ in myself. I said, good. But you got to see Christ in Jesus first. Because if you see it in yourself, you might wind up being Antichrist. Come on. But if you see it in Jesus and then see that same Christ dwelling in you, then you see in Jesus Christ. That's all the message the prophet brought. I thought the whole Bible was a revelation of Jesus Christ. See, then if you look at that first seal and read it, you'll see that he's talking about some other fella, some other guy, something else in opposition to you. But as I said, now we'll get back to Scripture in a minute. If you can't see Christ in the Bible, then how are you going to see him in yourself? And then what are you going to do when no man can call Jesus the Christ? Except it be by what somebody else said? Is that what the Scripture said? No. Except it be the Christ that's in you. All right? The Christ is in you. Then you can see it. All right? So let's think on these things now and just start on something. John sees... We were ending up this morning, 2,000 years ago, in glory at the opening of the seals. It was almost 2,000 years before it would come down to someone that would be on earth that could understand those symbols. Right? So I hope you see where the emphasis is being put. If God hadn't sent us a prophet, where would we be? Where would we be today if God hadn't sent a prophet to you and I? We'd be sitting out there in organized religion just like everything else, and you know what we'd be doing? I know you don't like me to grin because you know something's fixing to come. We would be, glory, hallelujah, we're in the bride. Boy, ain't it great that we're serving God, one of them. Because it's three persons of him, and we don't know, so maybe one of them is taking care of us. Right? Where would we be if God hadn't sent a prophet? All right. But he promised he'd do it. What's that prophet to do? Take all of the loose ends that man has left to him. Right. And to reveal the word to you and I, that we could become that word and walk off the earth. So now, as we were saying, that as we start on this, we back up to where we were in chapter 5. The prophet said this is actually the opening of those seals, because the bride is in glory at that time. But you know what? Like I've always told you now, matching pieces, right? Until we match what's there, we're not going there. Right? Is that a sensible statement? When Martin Luther preached that just shall live by faith, that was that angel in glory that was with the everlasting gospel. You remember that? Brother Run said that was the everlasting gospel. What, the just shall live by faith? You know, until he came to that place, he didn't match what was in heaven that was seen of him. But one day he did. When you and I match it, we'll be gone. Won't be because the bus is just pulling up for us. It'll be what the scripture said. They without us cannot be made perfect. Right. It'll be what Romans says. But the whole world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, you remember that message, don't you? What does the word manifestation mean? Well, it's great signs and wonders. Great. No. Manifest means to make known. You know what Brother Branham done? He stood on the platform and made God known. I told you my personal opinion. This is personal. That was why he wouldn't let nobody preach. He did for a long time. He would let people preach, and he'd come out and pray for the sick. Right? That was his early ministry. Why did he quit that? Because there wasn't none of them preaching it the way he wanted it preached. That's my opinion. Whatever yours is, I don't know. But see, there was no message involved. And he knew he'd come to bring a message. So he brought his own message. Then he went with the signs and wonders, because it was the opening of the word. See, that's what the whole world was waiting on. And for a moment there, it saw what it was desiring. All right. Now, but yet as great as he was and all that Brother Branham done, that didn't save one person. I know that's hard to speak to people, but if I hadn't put enough emphasis upon what I believe, you're in bad shape. The whole world was waiting upon this man we call William Branham to come. But yet he couldn't save nobody. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can save anybody. He can't reveal anything. His lips can be used. His thoughts could be used. But he couldn't reveal it. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it. See, then once you start then, as we're going to do, in the symbols, just remember, in his early ministry, even he didn't know these things. Because he preached it. And preached the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. But then God revealed it. And he got it in the right act, right? All right. So let's just get started now. Let's go to Revelation 6. Let's start on these things. Revelation 6:1. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. All right. One of the four beasts. I don't want to get that part. We'll pick that up maybe later. But in the thunder part of it, we'll pick that up in the next message, Lord willing. But the main thing I want you to see, it was one of the four beasts. You said, well, that was Brother Branham. Well, that's all right. But why not just make it all the four beasts and forget it and make it the Holy Spirit? That was in Brother Branham. That was in all of the ages coming down. And that way you're not trying to make one over the other to try to prove a point, because it's not going to prove any point. But look, and I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. All right. Now, Brother Branham says, go ahead, brother. Pull up. Number one. Brother Branham says it comes forth in a church symbol. So you can get into all of this, and everybody's arguing thunders and voices and whatever. But look. But it come in a symbol. That's the main thing I want you to think about. That it came in a symbol. A symbol was sent to the church. We can argue about the voice and the thunder and what this, that. But a symbol. But it cannot be revealed until what he said here at the end time. So it couldn't be made known down through there. You read the first seal, you hear the prophet saying these things. There was no way for it to be known. It was sent to the church as a symbol to keep her watching, keep her studying. And now, watch when we get to it in a minute. How could you write what's up there? We're going to make a story, all right? What if the Bible was written and it said the Antichrist will be Pope number so-and-so, and his name will be so-and-so? Well, every Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, anybody could read the Bible. They'd say, well, we know who the Antichrist is. But instead, you got an interpretation from basically ever denomination about the Antichrist. My brother-in-law was a Baptist preacher. He said one day that Antichrist will come, said it'd be a great big old beast, rise up out of the ocean, walking. I said, where's that going to deceive anybody? Right? That's what he thought. Now, there's a doctrine among organized religion, and I never did understand. If you're, some of you maybe know more about it, I'm sure, than I do. But it was to be a Syrian coming from somewhere, certain country. It was to be that. So those that are believing that are always looking for somebody from Syria. So if his next pope comes from Syria, that's it. That's him. Well, you know, I've always been one thing. I believe in anchoring your feet into what's right, but I've never believed in paddling mud, you know. I believe in getting anchored. And see, you get your eyes set on looking for a certain thing. What if it don't come that way? They're teaching some in the message now that this pope now has got to die and get out of the way. Because the number so-and-so, according to their record, is going to be the last one. Well, according to the Mayan calendar, it's supposed to be the last year on the earth. But if you've checked into that, if, you know, I read a little bit of the fine print. A lot of people read the front headlines and quit. The Mayans had even things that spoke of later after this year. And that's the kind of the way people are. This next pope coming up is supposed to be the one to bring the end of the world. But just in case he's not, we got a pope a second ago with the third or the fourth or the fifth to come out of him, you know. You know what I mean? Everybody's always got it figured out. Like the brother said there in 63, he said, what do you think about this rapture coming in Easter Sunday? Resurrection, rapture. There in 73. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, you sound like you don't believe it. I said, well, I don't have anything by the prophet to say it. He said, well, said they do have it figured out. If it don't come on Good Friday, it'll come 40 days later or something like that. I know I'm mean. You know what I said? I said, now sounds like you don't believe it. Because he already had 30, 40 days left over just in case. That's the way people do. Why don't you stand out there and say, this is it? But people don't want you to say that. They want you to have opinions. I proved in 1974 that we could pass the year 2026 and not break Brother Branham's message. But nobody wants to hear why I said it. But you know what? We're here. We passed it a long ways. See, if you know where you're at, you don't have to worry about it. If you don't, then you're worried. But see, it was read in a symbol form to keep the church waiting. A symbol of a white horse and a rider sitting on his back. We think it, like Brother Branham said in his early ministry, that it was like that he had a, that Cupid had a little bow and he was riding, shooting, the Holy Spirit was shooting the people, you know, of the love. But you know what? It says there that he had a bow and did not know arrows. So if that was Cupid, he couldn't shoot too much. Right. See, we don't think when we're reading. The prophet didn't say that that was Cupid shooting little arrows. He was telling what other people believed. I don't think he ever did believe it was Cupid doing that. But what he believed, it finally come out to the right thing. All right. But now look. It's in a symbol form. It's Satan, he said, changing his mask. And he says, you want me to tell you who this is? He said, it's the Antichrist. Go ahead and pull that one up, brother. Let's see, what is it? Okay, number three. Number three, let's look what he says. That's paragraph 293 of the first seal. All right? And the second seal comes forth and goes right on out into the end. Third seal comes forth, goes out in the end, fourth, fifth, sixth seal, winds up out in the end. And at the end time, these books that's been rolled up all this time with these mysteries in them is broken. And out comes the mystery to see what it is. But actually, we started forth. They started forth at the first church age. And watch it. Because the first church age received a message like this. A white horse rider went out. See, who is he? He's mighty in his conquering power. He's a great fellow in his conquering power. You want me to tell you who he is? He's the Antichrist. But he said he started out in the first church age. And church, that's what I don't understand, why that people would turn off from me to speak and say that the actual manifestation of those things is to take place when we leave out of here, when we see the greatest revelation of all. We can see where the Antichrist started and how it's led down to where it is. What else would you want? And to see that Antichrist as it starts, as he's reading there. A white horse rider went out. Who is he? He's Antichrist. He's mighty in his power. He's a great fellow, his conquering power. You want me to tell you who it is? It's the Antichrist. Because you see, if an Antichrist, Jesus said that the two would be so close together until it would deceive the very elected, the bride, if it was possible. Antichrist is the Antichrist spirit. Now go back and read the seal book, the first seal. He never walked out there as a man. The Antichrist, now listen, is not a man. It's a spirit. The spirit becomes incarnate in a man. Now you got his connection, but he's a spirit to start with. They didn't go out in the first church age, the Antichrist, that didn't conquer that much. It was conquered by the people who preached against it. God is a spirit. It's not to say a man. All right. Let's just read these scriptures. You know that John, the little John, saw the Antichrist. You know that John's the only one that called it the Antichrist. You know that Paul, in as much as he saw, never called it the Antichrist. He called it grievous wolves. He saw the spirit and what it was. Go ahead and pull up the scriptures in John there. But Paul never saw what John saw. John went to Patmos and come back and wrote it. All right. Now, this and the little Johns, the book of John that John was the author of, was written somewhere pretty close to A.D. 50. Most everybody thinks that while Jesus was going along, you know, the disciples had a pen and a piece of paper. Yeah, you done that. Let me dot that. You know, sign this. Sister Regina, she's reading the Bible. She reads so far, she's, you know, sign that. I don't know why she wants me to sign she's reading it, but that's what she wants, so I sign it, you know. Okay? If it's to show that she's read the Bible and I signed it, okay. But listen, church. that Antichrist spirit didn't start out as a man. It was a spirit. The Pope that one day will be Satan incarnate, the Pope himself will not be the devil. Right? He'll just be the one that Satan is incarnate in. Now, so what does John call it? I said Paul. He said grievous wolves. John wrote the book of John about AD 50. He goes to Patmos around AD 95, 96. He comes back, writes the book of Revelation. Then he writes the little Johns, we call it. First, second, and third John. He writes them after he comes back. Because he's seen the Antichrist. He's seen it as a white righteous church. But Paul would only call it grievous wolves because he was not chosen for that part. So look what John, we say, well, the Antichrist. 1 John 2 and 18 said, little children, it is the last time. As you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There's many Antichrists. Now, how did he know it was an Antichrist? Look at the next one. John 1, 22. John, 1 John 2, 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Not was the Christ, is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You know, I've had Trinitarians to say, if I deny the Father, I would deny the Son if I don't believe in a Trinity. You ever talk to one, had you say that to you? Using that very scripture. They say, I can't deny the Trinity because I deny one of them, because if I deny one, I'll deny the other one. That's how deceiving it is. But John calls it a liar. A person that believes that Jesus is not the Christ is a liar. He's already caught by an Antichrist spirit. Right? And yet he thinks he's in the gospel. Look at the next one. 1 John 4 and 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, Trinitarian doctrine believes that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. Right? That's a Trinitarian doctrine. That Jesus Christ come in the flesh. That he was here. That's not scripture. He that denieth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now that's right here today. He is his present tense. All right? Now, look at the lies from 2 John 1, 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Now John said the Antichrist was already there. But remember what the first seal then, when it would break, it would show this horse and the rider. Brother Brown said it's the Antichrist. And it starts out, I've got these on down through here, but read your seal book. It starts out as a little saying. A saying becomes a doctrine. A doctrine becomes a law or a set of rules, whatever you want to call it. You know what caused Cain to kill Abel? It was his doctrine. Because he was rejected as to his sacrifice, made him highly upset. That was his deed. He offered what he thought God worked like everything to bring forth. His little thing, little thoughts in his mind, his little saying, little, you know. He put it into a deed. He went out and gathered all the fruit, made a beautiful offering. But then he jumped on to Abel about it. Because God had told him, said, Cain, if you'd have done like your brother, you'd have been received. His deed, his saying become a deed. His deed become a doctrine. And that's where you'll find the second seal when we get to it. Of the red horse rider. He went out and killed Cain because of his doctrine. Am I right? Because God rejected what he's done. Why did he get mad at God? Right. No. We ain't going to do that. So his doctrine caused him to kill. There's plenty of people in this message. Now, I'm going to say it the way I believe it, all right? There's plenty of people in this message who would like to shut me up. I don't mean they want to kill me. I ain't saying somebody wants to take and wring your neck and kill you and cut your throat. Because Cain didn't want to do that to start with. It had to be that Satan become incarnate in Cain. You agree? Wasn't his thoughts and his ideas. That was his blood brother. You can say, well, two different bloods, that's all right. Same mama. But it becomes so straight until Cain finally killed his brother. That's your Antichrist. You ever notice that Brother Brown said everything started in Genesis? Right? He said all these doctrines started in Genesis. Now that's something, ain't it? Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Branhamites, Lulaites, Hudaites, or wherever you want to go. If we have a doctrine that's contrary to God's word, it surely didn't begin in heaven. The prophet said it begun in the garden. See, anything that denies that Jesus Christ is now come in the flesh. Now, if you think I ain't right, find you a Trinitarian and tell him that. And ask him, do you think Jesus Christ is now in flesh? Well, no. Brother, you're crazy. See, I'm not talking about a human mortal standing there, Jesus. I'm talking about living in you. Well, now, in a way, right? I guess you could say that, but let's don't go too far now. We make too much out of ourselves. Well, I don't think we went far enough. I used to like Brother Moak's definition of a lot of things. I love this one. He said, you can't sin enough to be lost if you're born again. You can't sin enough to be lost. I like that. Then you turn around and say, yeah, but if you're saved, you ain't going to be. Well, you ain't getting the point either. But listen, every spirit, if that spirit wanted you to agree that the new birth in your heart is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus had it, it's an Antichrist spirit. You remember I told you about the man up in jail that time was talking about how Brother Branham was deity? I said, well, brother, I believe in deity. Yeah. I guess he thought he had him a good convert. But I said, now, taking apart the fact that Brother Branham was a prophet and the gifts and the signs, the things that went with his life, I said, separate that part. I said, Brother Branham had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You agree? And he said, yes. I said, well, I believe in that being God in him. But I said, this brother right here, if he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I said, that's deity also. He said, no, I don't agree with you. What he said? So I knew I was talking to a person that believed Brother Branham was God. See, I believe every born again Christian. Brother Branham said it was deity speaking. I believe that. But you see, it's all in the way you say things. He that believeth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But he that denieth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is an antichrist. See, now watch what I'm saying. At the time he started out, he had no horse to ride. You remember? It says that there was a white horse. He sat on him, you know. But in his beginning, he didn't have a horse to be able to ride. It was just a spirit. Just a spirit among the people. After a while, you connect on over to the next seal, but we'll tie it in for a minute that we got. It becomes from a Antichrist spirit, it come to a prophet. Come on. You've read your seal book, haven't you? To a prophet. Now, I'm not talking about a true prophet. A prophet is one who teaches a message or a doctrine. See, that Antichrist spirit, it says that he had a bow and no arrows. Right? The bluff, the prophet said. All right? And what did it say about him? He that sat upon him had a bow and a crown was given him. You can't crown a spirit. Right? So he became in the next stage of understanding. He became a false prophet. That's where he got his crown. He just started out teaching it, making bishops and making all kind of things. That's why I said that I really enjoyed the Church Age book, because I could follow a chain of those things. But there he was, a prophet. Our people begin to take that doctrine and they begin to preach it. Here's where the people miss it studying the seal book. Brother Branham mentions, he says, Antichrist, prophet, beast. They don't listen careful enough then to keep reading till he says it this way to make it right. Antichrist, prophet, incarnate false prophet. That's in the seal book. He said, then he becomes the beast. I've got a quote laying up here. Then when he first started out, he couldn't be the beast. He could only be an antichrist. See, the revealing of Jesus Christ shows us who the Antichrist is. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh by the new birth. But Satan denies that and wants to make it the second person or something. Right? But then he become a prophet down through the time. You read the seal book and see if I'm right. He become a prophet that began to preach his message. You know, Satan's got a fivefold ministry. You didn't know that? And they can be transformed even as the scripture says, angels of light. He's got his own fivefold ministry. And he began to send it out, teach his doctrine. And after a while, they become so connected to that doctrine, they become one with it and become a prophet of that system. Same spirit. Begins to pick up then and becoming into the stage of incarnate false prophet. There's where your Pope comes in. So you know it didn't start out with a pope back there in the time of Paul. There was no pope. He called them grievous wolves. Come on, read your seal book. I'm in the seal message. I'm bringing it right out of the book. He became an incarnate false prophet. That's when he got his crown. A triple ruling crown of Rome. When he become an incarnate false prophet, an antichrist incarnate, a spirit become incarnate. He started out in the ages as just being a little saying, a little doctrine. Then it started from a saying to a doctrine of mankind, and they become a preachers of that doctrine, prophets of that doctrine. But then one day he got a crown. Become an incarnate false prophet. See, one day that same Antichrist spirit will finally turn out to be the beast. See, you and I. You see why I'm so happy about the way that I believe? Because I can look back there and see what that prophet said. And I can watch that spirit. And I look around the people in the message, especially the ministers. And you see good, honest-hearted, sincere preachers. But you see little doctrine, little sayings. We've had them to come right here, right? And when I questioned the brother later and told him I didn't agree, he said, well, you know, people preached that, and I just believed it. You remember? You remember about the Judah and the Tamar they were trying to preach? Now, that was a great lineage to come down. And Judah planted his seed into Tamar to save her. I told him, I said, that makes sex a savior, and I don't agree with it. I said, the seed wasn't planted in there to save her. Well, you better be careful, because that same seed in there produced twins. One of them was Perez, or how you pronounce it, come down to David. The other one, I can't remember his name. You know where it went? It went to Achan. You remember that with the Babylonian garment? That's where the other line went to. But you see, it was a saying. It just sound good. Well, all the big preachers are preaching it. You remember the story I told you about the brother preaching it? Said Brother Branham was the one that come to John on Patmos. And I just told him, I said, "Don't believe it, brother." I said, "I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ that come to Brother Branham on Patmos." He said, "Yeah, but it's got to be an angel." That's who it was. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet. But you see, his point was that that's what people preach. These four brothers overseas. You've at least got the tapes and the books to check out things with. These four brothers that come from overseas, like the brother stood here Wednesday night and said, "We only got about 200 messages in our language." Well, and then people go over there. You know, when I went to the Philippines, you know what used to be the biggest doctrine in the Philippines? Was the two-soul doctrine. Well, they had no way to contradict that doctrine until God allowed books and tapes to come their way. See, it's a saying. You get it? Antichrist spirit. It starts out as a spirit, not as a man. It starts out as a spirit, a little saying. That's why I come here every once in a while, clip things. You know, say something about things. He said, "Well, you know, that brother's sincere." I guess he is, but he's sincerely wrong as far as I'm concerned. When they start bringing out stuff like that. And I'm pastor, I'm supposed to correct those things. Oh, but you remember a spirit got onto some people? He show you how good a spirit can get on people? You know that Moses stood there one day and said, "All that's on God's side, come over here." 250 priests with censers in their hands off of the fire of the altar fell in the ground. Preachers. The next day. Come on, read your Bible. The next day they come to Moses and said, "You killed the people of God." And you think that doctrine hadn't hung on? You think that spirit hadn't got in them people that was on the same ones that went in the ground? I believe I'd at least waited 3 days. You know, maybe a week. But the next day. See, I know in first surety, I know the truth about what people are and the way they think. If somebody right here differed with me vehemently, or how you say that word, and fell over dead, 50% of you would believe I was wrong. Well, Brother Dale, boy, you want to make it 51? Well, Brother Dale, that was a good brother. Ain't no problems about good brothers. Robin Hood robbed the rich, gave to the poor. What good does that make it? Wouldn't have been much profit in robbing the poor to probably give to the poor. I think he was smart. But get my point. A spirit gets among people. I watch it here. I see spirits. Brother told me one day, brother wasn't even from here, never had been here, and didn't know the person. We were standing outside, and he looked at me, and he said, "Brother Dale, that man's trying to bust up your church." I said, "So what? I know all about it." "You better get out there." I said, "I ain't worried about it." So we went to eat. The brother told me again. He said, "That brother's trying to bust your church up." I said, "Watch it, and I'll show you." I get up and I walk over and I sit down. Click. Immediately the conversation stopped. I walk out here a lot of times and I see you talking and I just walk around. And I just stop. The conversation changes. You think I don't know? But you see, I'm still trying to be Christ. Because I know it's just a spirit that gets among you. I know a lot of spirits come in here and get among the people. And I watch that very closely. But you see, when I do come out and say something about it, you offended that person. That's the same people that said you killed the people of God. I'm trying to get you to see what an antichrist is. See, we're looking at an antichrist, as Brother Brown said, a white horse and a rider, as an antichrist. It was a spirit that started among the people. Now, you want another good illustration of a spirit of an antichrist? Why was Lucifer cast out of heaven? Come on. Why was he cast out of heaven? He had a saying that a bunch of angels picked up, and they believed it. Right? And they believed Satan's saying. And when it become a doctrine, it become to an issue, and Michael had to cast him out. Right? Because Michael was Christ. See, Gabriel couldn't handle it. It proves that in the book of Daniel. God tried to come to Daniel through Gabriel, and he couldn't get there. Read your Bible. He said, 23 days or 21 days or something. That he was hindered. He said, until Michael, your prince, came to my aid, in other words. And when he did, now I'm able to come on here. Because Gabriel couldn't handle Lucifer. But Michael can. And who is Michael? He's Christ. Who is this we're talking about? The revelation of Jesus Christ is what cast the devil out. Now, come on. You know yourself, as I said a moment ago, you see preachers that after 40 years, they're still preaching higher dress clothes and things. Brother Dale, you don't believe in preaching higher dress and clothes? I don't believe it the way most preachers. I don't. I don't believe it's salvation. I believe you can have a dress dragging the ground and your hair running off and dragging your tracks out and still be as dead sincere of a devil as ever been. But if God is in the heart, your hair might not be that long. But when you don't cut it, that's what it means in the Bible. Cut hair is 40 foot long hair and you take an eighth of an inch off. That's cut. Right? Long hair is the scissors has never been in it. You African people, your hair doesn't grow long, does it? Come on. But you see, a little saying, a little doctrine. Don't you think Brother Dale's got a kind of a bad attitude? Seems like lately he's been real harsh, mean, and says a lot of hard things to us. What if that's the Holy Ghost? Come on. What if the Holy Ghost is telling me, make it hard and strong? Can you eat it? see a spirit. That Antichrist is still right here. Anywhere you see Jesus Christ, now I hope I've illustrated with Michael and stuff like that enough for you to see. Anytime you see a spirit, it's trying to turn you against the truth. Just as a little saying. Come on. All I got to do is say, you know, you do this and you get in trouble, but that's all right. I say, Brother Dick, what's Brother Collie got against? Oh, forget it. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. Brother, I shouldn't have said that. That's all it takes. The rest of the day, Brother Dick's going around, what's Brother Collie got against me? Week later, he's saying, what's Brother Collie got against me? And one day he walks up and said, what do you got against me? Right? A spirit. That's how easy the Antichrist is. Don't you think that Brother Branham is deity? Well, yeah, if you get in the right order. But Brother, that, don't you think that he's just a little bit above us? I think he's a member of the body of Christ. I think he was God's messenger brought to us. But as far as a human in the body of Christ, he's no different. He will not be set up on a pedestal. Come on. Because of him just being born again, he'll be set up on a pedestal and honored because of the gifts in his life and because he yielded himself to those things. But he's no different than anyone else in the body of Christ. Brother Branham said there's no big I's and little U's. That's what I've always said, and I love that scripture. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. That's Bible. But yet look what honor we give to John for the introducing of the Messiah. But you see, all them things, just little sayings. I've told you, you go back and read and see if I'm right. The first Nicene Council of 325 A.D. was not. Now read it. If you don't, I'll get you the book. It's in your computer. Run over there where it says the Nicene Fathers and pre-Nicene Fathers. The first Nicene Council was not an argument over whether there was one God or three. It was over whether or not Jesus was the substance or a light substance. And their first Nicene Council statement. Come on. If I hadn't seen these and read it, I wouldn't have believed it was there. Their first statement was from the Nicene Council, Jesus is Almighty God. That's their first statement. But you see, then that little saying got started. By the time it comes to 606, then they begin to develop a trinity from the fact of saying that Jesus was not the substance of God. He was a light substance, making him a demigod, which means a lesser god. It took 600 years to get that saying to become a doctrine. That's how deceiving it is. Read your first seal. He went from a deed to a doctrine, to a governmental form, in other words, men. And then it went to an incarnate false prophet in the Pope. And one day, Satan will be incarnate in the beast. So that's your four stages of your Antichrist. But what I love is on the other side. The four stages, what, the bug that ate it down, four stages brought it back. justification under Luther, sanctification under West, Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the Word. The Word through the prophet to tell you the deception of these things and how close it can be. Think on these things. Come on, brothers. Oh, that's all right. We got communion. Sorry. Fixing it. Let's just stand and sing a little song. If anybody has a need, we don't want to ever, you know, quit unless, you know, if somebody has a need, we want to do that. But let's just sing a little hymn or something. I love him. If you have a need, then just come and let's receive before we go into the communion. Love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Anybody have a need? Sing it this way. He heals me. He heals me because he first.
I have some problem with my throat, and I also want to crack a cloth for George.
Yeah. Our brother's got a problem with his throat, and he wants a prayer cloth for a personal reason. So let's just, we got to get some more out of the office. Anybody else that would just want to come before we go into the communion? Make all hearts and minds right for that. You know, anything you want to get rid of it now. Because that way we won't drink damnation. Father, we give this to prayer cloth to our brother as to what he's asking about. We believe you'll answer him. And we pray that you'd touch his throat, Lord. You'd take away this problem. Because we believe your word, that by your stripes he's healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And all minds clear. Think about him then. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, I love this, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just take a few moments of silent prayer, praying one for another before we go into the communion, and just asking the Lord to make us worthy of this position, right? We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread that's been made for this purpose this afternoon. And as we come to this part, we know and realize this is not your body, but it represents your body. We know that it is not the Word, but it represents the Word. Lord, what a wonderful thing for us to be able to do these things while we can see it here upon the earth, and then one day we can see you in reality. We love you and we thank you. We ask you to sanctify the bread and sanctify each partaker, that we may all be together as one in you, in Jesus' name.